This is Neil Doody for ArtsSound FM, and this afternoon on the phone I have Katie Noonan and Lynn O'Brien from the National Folk Festival. Good afternoon.
G'day, Neil. How are you? Great to speak with you.
Yeah, this is Lynn.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you going? So after a couple of years of, well, there was actually a sort of a thing called Good Folk last year for the Folk Festival, but it's been a long time coming for a new Folk Festival. Must be exciting.
It's incredibly exciting for everybody, for the staff, for the community, for the musicians, for everyone. Obviously, it's been the hardest couple of years for everybody in this country on many, many levels, but particularly for lovers of music and the arts, it's been very tricky because we haven't been able to see music, and then for us, the professionals and also community musicians, we haven't been able to play together, and choirs haven't been able to sing and all that stuff. So thankfully, it's all coming together for the National Folk Festival in its 30th year on Ngunnawal Country in Canberra. We're full steam ahead. We're the most backed city in the world. We're looking forward to bringing together the biggest and brightest and best festival that we've pretty much put together of 100% Australian acts. And we're super excited.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've had a good look at the program and voted with my wallet a little while ago because, to me, it's the most exciting program I think I've seen the Folk Festival put together.
I think we can attribute that to the wonderful Katie Noonan, who's just brought such an amazing level of creativity to the festival. So, I mean, you think that the little excerpt you've seen is good, wait till you see the whole program.
Yeah.
We're actually deep in the programming vortex at the moment, which is a complex and wonderful world. We are basically in the position of having an unprecedented amount of applications and just being incredibly spoiled for choice from all sorts of artists from all walks of life. And I think because I am not a traditional folk musician and I've worked across various genres, for me, folk is a broad church where all are welcome. So we do have our traditional folk and our sort of, which I guess by many would be considered more the Anglo-Celtic traditional folk. But then we've really broadened, I hope, the definition of folk to reflect more of the Australia of today, which is, of course, an incredibly multicultural festival. In fact, I think about 35% of our population is not actually born here, and also a genuine celebration of the oldest living culture on the planet, which is, of course, our First Nations family, and in the only capital city in Australia that's actually an Indigenous word, Canberra, meaning a Ngunnawal word for meeting place. It feels like a really beautiful time to be having a really lovely celebration of First Nations songwriting and storytelling throughout the whole festival as well.
Yeah. So to stay on that for a moment, there's a deliberate focus this year by the looks of it. There's a large number of Indigenous acts that go over the whole of the program. For me, that's pretty exciting. And it's covering all the bases. So you've got Emma Donovan and the Putbacks, who I would not normally think fit into a folk mold. But as you said, it's more of a broad church this time around.
Yeah, look, certainly Emma's not traditional folk, but she's an incredible songwriter and her band is just so good that, you know, for me, she's one of the leading lights of Australian music, full stop. But certainly, as a First Nations woman, she's extraordinary. But, you know, she grew up with Uncle Archie and Arnie Ruby and Slim Dusty and Troy Cassidaly and, you know, what I definitely consider to be Australian folk music. So we have a broad, multi-generational offering. And in particular in the First Nations space, which, as you probably know, First Nations is all about family, we're going to have multi-generational things. So like Uncle Sammy Butcher coming from Papunya with his grandson Jack on drums and his daughter, not his biological daughter, but his brother's daughter, George Butcher, the original lead singer from Warumpi Band, his daughter Crystal. So we'll have three generations of the Warumpi Band in our closing concert on Monday, April 18. And then in our opening concert, we're going to have Uncle Archie, who's, you know, arguably our greatest elder of the music industry, singing with a young 12-year-old First Nations artist from Gubbi Gubbi Country, alongside Alinta Barlow, who is a Ngunnawal artist, and her mum, Arnie Jude Barlow. So, yeah, we've really just tried to, I mean, our basic theme is find your family, find your home, find your folk. So that's sort of been the curatorial framework through which we've asked all our artists to filter their their program.
Yeah, I thought something like that. Now, there's something else in there that's probably slightly different to that that I'm interested in finding out more about. On three different days, you've got the songs of Don, the songs of Joni, and the songs of Judy Small.
Correct.
How does that come together?
Well, there are three concerts that I've curated. So for me, Don Walker is most definitely one of our finest singer-songwriters. Mm. He's from Jaru country up in Eyre, which is just south of Townsville. And, you know, for those who don't know, he's the keyboardist in Cold Chisel. And so he's written some of the greatest songs of the last 50 years, things like Choir Girl and Flame Trees. And
of course, he's had his own solo career as well since then, hasn't he?
Exactly. His solo career and then his band, Don Walker and the Suave Swear Word, which I can't say on air.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I know the one you mean.
You know the one, yep. And then, you know, I mean, Joni Mitchell is, I think, well, for me, she's my favourite folk artist of all time. And so I put together an all-women celebration of the best of the festival, basically, from well-known artists like Melanie Horsnell and Catherine Britt and Little Quirks and The Maze and lots of folk favourites, as well as some up-and-coming artists like Kim Yang and Joe Davey, all presenting their favourite Joni tunes. That was amazing. That program basically programmed itself in about 48 hours because we were all fighting over which song we could get to sing. And then Songs of Judy, which is a celebration of the 22 Lifetime Achievement Award winner for the National Folk Festival, the legendary Judy Small. So that will be, again, an all-female concert celebrating the songwriting legacy of Judy Small over her illustrious multi-decade career. So they're sort of three once-in-a-lifetime concerts that you'll only see at the National Folk Festival, and they're programmed on different days to try to encourage people to come to the whole festival.
I think so. And the whole festival, I was going to come now to logistics. In the past, it's been a bit of a pain to access the festival, but there's a tram now, light rail. Hopefully that's going to make a difference in terms of us getting there and back. Is that right, Linda?
Indeed. And we're working with the ACT government to get some, hopefully to get some free tram rides for people who are attending the festival. So we're in negotiations at the moment. If they can do it for the football, they can do it for the folk festival.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. We're really hopeful. And I think that will come off, that we'll actually be able to offer people a free ride, which will be amazing.
Yeah. And on that note, we've had incredible support and new partnerships in our 30th year. You know, we received significant funding from the Australia Council for the Arts.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
From RISE and then Experience Canberra and ACT. You know, like we've really had some fantastic support that's enabled us to dream bigger than ever, really. So now you can get the tram out, and of course locals can either, of course we've got Canberra Park across the road, which has the accommodation within walking distance, so there are lots and lots of options for everybody to be able to come.
Yeah, so there are still tickets. Can you still buy camping tickets, or have they sold out?
Okay, the camping allocation has for the moment been paused. We're just in the process of making sure that all our performers and volunteers have somewhere to sleep.
Uh-huh.
As you know, it's a bit of an immersive event, an immersive festival. So it's really important that we make sure that everyone's catered for. But we will be opening up. I've spoken to the production manager yesterday and today, and she's confident that we can open up some more camping a little bit closer to time once we've allocated our people that really need to sleep on site.
Because,
as you know, festivals like this can't exist without our incredible volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a large cohort of passionate and extremely experienced and generous volunteers that help, that really we couldn't do the festival without them. So we need to make sure they've got a place to keep for the night. And then we have all our stall holders and our artists. So we've got, and of course we've got COVID restrictions, which we've never had before.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
The new world, you know, the new world is post-COVID world, which is a different world. But we're doing absolutely everything to ensure the safety of all our patrons and artists and absolutely everybody, and lots of outdoor spaces with lots of fresh air and undercover stuff and
wonderful.
Lots more seating and all those sort of things that we have to adhere to in these times.
Sounds exciting. It's on at Easter weekend, which for some people probably can't come soon enough, but I'm sure you've got a lot to do between now and then to bring it all together.
Day and night.
That's an understatement, Neil. Yes, we're currently programming over 200 artists across multiple stages. So, yeah, so for anyone who hasn't come before, we'd love you to come. It's from Thursday, April 14 through to Monday, April 18.
Yeah.
And there's something for everyone every day. It's very much multi-generational. Children, for the first time, are free. All children under 12 are free.
Mm-hmm.
And also a pretty good venue for wheelchairs and sort of accessibility and that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, we're just looking forward to welcoming lots of new faces alongside our old folk family.
Excellent. So as we get closer to the time, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again. We'll get into some more detail about some of the acts and so forth as we get closer to Easter.
Oh, we would love that. We're basically looking to it to, you know, the plan is to announce the program in the next couple of weeks, and then we will be officially launching the festival on the 9th of March at the National Library, and then it's sort of countdown, you know.
Wonderful.
to the big day.
Yeah.
But just one thing that I did want to mention is that I'm a big believer that everyone that can talk can sing. So we have, for the first time, we have, well, not for the first time, but we have a fairly extensive choral program. So we have the National Folk Festival Family Choir. We have two choirs. We have one that is for people who can, you know, have sung in a choir and can hopefully read music and are committed to having a six-week rehearsal program.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll be an integral part of our opening concert on our brand new massive 5,000-seat Ngarrindjeri stage on Friday the 15th of April at dusk. And you'll get to sing with Uncle Archie Roach in his last ever concert in Canberra on Ngunnawal country. So that's, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Yeah, and you get to work with incredible choral masters from ANU and all of that sort of stuff. But if you can't commit to that or you feel like that's a bit too much, when you come to the festival, we also have the wonderful Stephen Taberner from the Spooky Men's Chorale. He'll be running our second choir, National Folk Family Choir, which rehearses every day at 11:30 for 1 hour. And then you get to sing in the closing concert on the Monday night with Uncle Sammy Butcher, Neil Murray, and the Wurrumpi family members, as well as Yossi Indy. And so there really is no excuse for anyone who has a voice that makes a sound to be a part of our festival. And if you really think you can't sing, we've even got an option that you can learn a body percussion part by folk legend Greg Sheehan, who all folk people will know and love. He will be launching his book on the Monday, but then also helping us do a body percussion accompaniment to the Wurrumpi version of My Island Home. So we're all about inclusivity and community involvement.
And singing and dancing
and body percussion and all of the things.
Truly something for everyone.
So you can jump online and register to join the choir anytime, and those details will be more sort of explained over the next couple of months.
Excellent. Well, thank you for talking with us this afternoon, Lynn and Katie. And as I said, we'll look forward to catching up with you over the next few weeks as the program firms up and we get more excited.
Absolute pleasure, Neil. Thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and see you at the Folky.
Will do. See you then. Bye.
Thanks, Neil. Bye.